The title of the message is The Home, a Hospital for Hurting Hearts. So The Home, a Hospital for Hurting Hearts. And I think you'll get the idea of what the message is about here and all of that as we get into the message. But let's look at Jeremiah 8. This time, let's just look at verses 21 and 22. I had the text wrong on that piece of paper that I gave to you, Brother Robert. I apologize for that. Jeremiah 8, 21 and 22. Jeremiah here is lamenting over what God has showed him, and he says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people, or why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" The home, a hospital for hurting hearts. We'll see, as we'll talk about here in just a little bit, that there are a lot of hurts in this world. And the place really that we ought to be able to go for healing those hurts is, one of them would be a Christian home, mom, dad, children. But another one would be the house of God, our church home. There ought to be a place where our hurts can heal. Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity, Lord, that you've given us tonight to be together in your house, Lord, to worship you and honor you. Lord, if we have not yet worshiped you in spirit and in truth, would you please enable us beginning now to do so? Lord, it's so easy for us many times to get into the rut of what we do with worshiping and all of that, Lord, singing songs and going through an offering. And Lord, we have our schedule, our order of service. That many times, Lord, it's easy for us to not really worship you. Father, if that's been the case in any of us, or maybe even as a group tonight, would you please calm our hearts before you and help us as we look into your word at this time that we would truly be able to worship you in this time. Lord, I don't know why it seemed that you wanted me to preach this message tonight, but I leave it in your hands. I trust you with it. And I ask that you would use it to the honor and glory of your own name, to the edification of your church. And Lord, would you please help these dear people? Lord, they are a blessing to me. Lord, they are an encouragement to me. Lord, their presence here lifts my spirits. But Lord, more than that, I love them, and I know, Lord, that you love them more than I ever could. So Lord, I pray, would you use this message to bless them? And Lord, I pray that if there's any hurt in their hearts tonight, that you would enable them to be helped from this message. In Jesus' name, amen. As you probably tell from the lead up to the message, this will be a message that will be primarily applicable to families that have children at home. But if that's not your situation, which I realize for many of you, that's not your situation, please don't tune out. Because I want you to understand there's so much here that can be applied to any of us as Christians. Whether it be in your individual life, if you're single or married and your children are grown up and out of the home or whatever the situation might be, I want you to understand there is an application here for you. Number one, we can certainly look at it as an application in the church, that the church is a little bit of a home and it ought to be a place where hurts can be healed. And so I hope that you'll take an application to it. But really, we just have two main points with some subpoints here tonight. The first one being this, that, listen, it's important for us to understand that hurts are going to come. There are going to be things in life that hurt us. There's nobody that gets to go through life and just live in a bubble and be completely protected from any kind of hurt, whether that be emotional or God forbid, physical or something like that, but hurts are going to come. And the reason for that is, I hope you understand, because we live in a sin-cursed world. And that's an important thing to remember. Why is it that someone who I love, maybe a family member or another church member, why is it that they would say something to me, maybe in a smart or sarcastic way or a, a hurtful way. Why does that happen? Well, friends, it's not that they're evil necessarily. It's because we live in a sin-cursed world. That's why sometimes dads in the home will react to their children in a not Christian way. And I'm not trying to excuse abuse or anything like that. We're not talking about that, but I'm talking about just being maybe sharp when they shouldn't be sharp with the children, maybe yelling at them when they should be calm and graceful and all of that. Listen, why does that happen? Because we're in a sin-cursed world. And it shouldn't be that way in the fact that you and I are Christians. And when we walk in the Spirit, how much of the lust of the flesh will we fulfill when we're walking in the Spirit? The answer is zero. So we should walk in the Spirit. So there is an answer. But boyfriends, if you've tried at all to walk in the Holy Spirit, you know it's a battle. It's not something you wake up in the morning, decide to walk in the Holy Spirit, and then you're good for the rest of the day, and you just, for the rest of the 24 hours, you just walk in the Holy Spirit. No, it's not that way. It is a moment-by-moment decision and battle. And many times you find yourself, oops, no, I stepped out of walking in the Holy Spirit. I got to get back. Lord, forgive me. I was wrong, etc. And we get back in. But we live in a sin-cursed world. And by the way, won't that be good when Jesus comes and straightens all that out? Wouldn't it be wonderful when, like it talks about in Romans 8, when the whole creation will not be groaning and travailing in pain together until this time? That won't happen anymore. Won't it be wonderful when we're brought into the liberty of the children of God? Boy, that will be a wonderful day. And that day is coming when we won't live in a sin-cursed world. But in the meantime, hurts are going to come because we're in a sin-cursed world. Not only that, but hurts come because man is born unto trouble. Job chapter number 5, verses 6 and 7 talk about that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That is part of nature, isn't it? That when sparks are released from your campfire, for instance, they never go straight down. Because it is part of the way this world works, the rules that God set up, that heat rises, right? And those sparks, they fly upward. And just like that, it is part of this sin-cursed world that we live in that man is born unto trouble. Mark it down. Hurts are going to come. Man is born unto trouble. So when trouble comes to your life, don't be surprised. Another reason why hurts are going to come is because Satan is working against God's people. Satan is working against God's people. Those of you who are in what I would call a younger family situation, so mom and dad and some kids at home still, do you know that Satan is actively working against your home? He absolutely is. He is alive and real. I'm reminded of that today as we go through this day. I know Brother Pritch and I talked a little bit before the service ever started this morning, just the minor irritations and difficulties, nothing major, but minor irritations and difficulties that the two of us had just even beginning the day today. And even throughout the day, I've just noticed minor irritations and difficulties. And it's a reminder that, you know what, that's right. Brother Pritchett, we had something very important yesterday, that men's revival prayer meeting. And I know Satan hates that. He hates it when we get together, humble ourselves before God, and beg God to send revival and save souls. So Satan is gonna work. Why do I forget that? And yet I do. My wife and I talk about it all the time. Why is such and such happening? Oh yeah, that's right, missions conference. Or spring revival. Or, you know, a prayer meeting. Or somebody recently got saved and it seems like Satan turns up the heat. And so that is going to happen. It happens in your home. Friends, it happens in a church. This is a little bit of a home here for us, a spiritual home. And Satan is going to actively work against this. And I hope you remember that. I hope you remember that when the person who's sitting maybe in the aisle across from you who has hurt you in some way, maybe they said something or did something or didn't do something or didn't say something or whatever. And it's easy for us sometimes to get upset with them and irritated at them and perturbed at them and maybe even have a little bit of a grudge that sneaks up. I hope that you'll remember that Satan is actively working to try to put a division between you and the other people in the church here. When I was a missionary and we were on deputation. Some of you remember that time. You were in the church at that time. And Daniel and Abby were little ones at that time, and Rebecca and I were here, and we weren't often able to be in the church. We were often traveling and raising money to go to Mexico. But in the times that we were here, I can remember sitting in the service, and of course, Pastor Fred was the pastor at that time, and he was preaching and all of that. And I can remember just this feeling of irritation with him as I sat where you sit. And there was no reason. He wasn't doing anything wrong. His preaching wasn't wrong. It wasn't off. But I can remember just a feeling of irritation with him. And it dawned on me, you know what? That's Satan. Because I'm not normally irritated with my brother. Now, when I was little and he's picking on me, I was. But now that we're both adults, we get along great. We're best of friends. I'm not normally irritated with him. Why is it that when I sit in a service under him where he's the leader, why is it that I would suddenly have some kind of an irritation with him? Because Satan wants to drive a wedge between me and the pastor. You know, he wants to do that with you as well. You know, Satan wants to drive a wedge between you and the church member who's near you or across the aisle from you or across the auditorium from you. He wants to, he's working against what we do here. So remember that Satan is working against God's people. And Brother Pritchett reminded me of something this morning, and I'm going to embarrass him a little bit, but he really reminded me of something. I learned something from him this morning. And he said, you know, with those irritations that come, a lot of times we attribute them to Satan, which is true. But he said, you know what? It's like God said to the children of Israel in the wilderness, that God took them through those trials to prove them. And you know what God's doing for us on a Sunday morning when irritations come? He's proving us. How are you going to respond when the children aren't what they ought to be? Are you going to respond in the spirit? Or are you going to respond in the flesh? How are you going to respond when your fellow church member does you wrong? Are you going to respond in a fleshly manner, or are you going to walk in the spirit and respond as Christ would? It really is a mirror that shines in front of us, doesn't it, and reveals to us who we really are spiritually when the trials come. So just know that hurts are going to come. Satan is working against what we do. And then also, here's an important thing to remember, and I hope that you'll maybe even write this down somewhere. Hurts are going to come because some people seem to be prone to hurt others. Let me say that again. Hurts come because some people seem to be prone to hurt others. And I don't know why exactly that is, but there are some people who it's almost as if they cannot help it. And I'm not trying to belittle them or anything like that, but there are some people in just who they are, their personality, their upbringing, it's like they cannot help but hurt other people. You and I need to recognize that. So, you know, what are we going to do with people like that? Are we just going to, for instance, are we going to cast them out of our home if they're our kids? We might want to. But are we going to say, oh, yeah, you know, you're just terrible, and kick them out? Of course not. We're going to maybe correct them, we'll work with them, but we're going to embrace them as our family and try to deal with that personality. Well, same thing in a church. Are there people like that sometimes? Absolutely there are. Listen, there are just some people who, for whatever reason, are prone to hurt others. Listen, we could kick everybody out like that, but I would be the first one to go and you'd soon follow. We'd all be kicked out. Or we can work to, by the Holy Spirit, get along. Dr. Hiles used to say, hurting people hurt people. I don't think he was probably the first one who said that, but he was kind of famous for saying it. Hurting people hurt people. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. When people have been hurt in their past, many times they will respond in like manner. You and I have to understand that, work with that. Also, some people are not spirit-filled. Many times as Christians, most of the time, we're not walking in the Spirit. We're walking according to the dictates of the flesh. And so hurt is going to come. So please know that in life, hurts are going to come. So the second main point, which has four subpoints tonight, is then through what avenues can your home be a hospital for hurting hearts? Okay, so again, I'm primarily talking to those who still have children at home, but it can be applicable to those who are married and you have a spouse at home, and it can definitely be applicable to even those who are single regarding the church. How could the church be a hospital for hurting hearts? How could your home be a hospital for hurting hearts? Because one of the things, by the way, as parents that we want to watch out for is with our children, we don't want them to respond to the hurts that are in this life and become bitter people. Have you seen someone who has grown up in a home where they were hurt when they were younger and they never learned how to deal with that properly, and so they're just a bitter person? I think we've all met many people like that. I don't want my children to be that way. Listen, truth of the matter is, I don't want any church members to be that way. And I'm afraid that probably under my ministry there have been some people who just have not been able to be helped and maybe even today are bitter. And I know that I'll give an account someday as I stand before the Lord for that. That's a scary thing. I don't want that to be that way. So what are some avenues through which a home can be a hospital for hurting hearts? Let me give you four of them. Number one, and this is the primary one, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in the home. I'm going to give these to you in descending order of importance. So this is the primary importance. Number one is that the Holy Spirit and His presence are in the home. So again, this is applicable for those of you who have children at home, those of you who are married without children at home, and those of you who are single at home. Your home ought to be a place where the Holy Spirit is evident. Where when you walk in the door, it is a place of respite, not because you have candles lit and soft music, but because the Holy Spirit is very evidently there. I want my home to be that way. I want your home to be that way. By the way, shouldn't our church be that way? Boy, it's one of the things I pray for. Lord, let your Spirit be in control here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. You'll recognize these scriptures, but let me share them with you anyway. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. And when the Holy Spirit is in control in my home, in control in this church, what will be evident? Oh, His fruit. His fruit will be there. And hopefully, as my children and as my wife, as I walk into my home, there is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. All the things that are listed there, all nine of those areas of the fruit of the Spirit are just evident in the home and can be felt there. And my children, my wife, I need that in our home. Why? Because when I'm out in the world, it's true. There are hurts. There are things that people say or people do, or sometimes it's things they don't say or won't do, or looks that they give or whatever else. That, man, they hurt. And I need a place, and so do you, by the way, where we can go and this is what life is supposed to be like. Your home ought to be that way. The only way to get that to happen, again, is not through lighting candles and putting on soft music. That's like a Band-Aid for a big problem. It's for you to allow the Holy Spirit to act in your home and be there in your home and to not grieve the Holy Spirit. So you have to be careful what things are allowed as in entertainment. You have to be careful how you react to your spouse or to your children or to the problems of the day. You have to even be careful, what kind of negative things you bring into the home. You never want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you want that to be a place where He is able to move and to work without any hindrance whatsoever. That applies, again, to single, that applies to married with children, that applies to married without children. That is applicable to all of us, and that is important when we're in church as well. The presence of the Holy Spirit will heal hurts. Let me give you the second avenue through which a home can be a hospital for hurting hearts, and that is through the saturation of God's Word. The saturation of God's word. Deuteronomy 6, let's turn there quickly if you would please. The saturation of God's word. We need this more and more in the days that we are living in. Deuteronomy 6. Start with verse number 4. And it says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." Look at verse number 12. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." But notice that as that command was given, it was given to fathers, in other words, the parents, and the responsibility was given to the fathers that they were to make sure that in their home, God's word, his commandments, were continually being brought up. That the word of God was saturating the home. And friends, that's a way that the Lord can help you to help your children and help you in this direction where when you are hurt in this world, that you can come to your home, or in this case, the church, and you can be healed. You can be helped. As our scripture said, that it was our text, is there no balm in Gilead? The world who does not have the things of God, they deal with hurts all the time. When they get better, it's understandable. But when someone who is a Christian deals with hurts and they get bitter, something went wrong. Because there is a balm in Gilead. That's like someone who has a medicine, for instance, they have some kind of infection, and there are antibiotics available to help deal with the infection, but they never took them, or they were never prescribed them, or whatever. I read about, or my wife was telling me about a pastor, I believe it's a pastor anyway, that she heard of from the wife of the pastor who was on a beach somewhere, who knows where he was, and he got a cut. Was it on his leg, sweetheart? He got a cut on his leg, on his foot. Got a cut on his foot, and I don't know how quickly, but very quickly, it turned septic. To the point where they went to the urgent care or whatever to get it dealt with because it was starting to irritate him or whatever. And the nurse or whatever she would be called who was there told him, told the wife, "You need to get your husband to the hospital now." And when he got to the ER, they told him that he was within, I think, was it 90 minutes? Within 90 minutes of death. Because that infection had gotten into the blood, and that can very quickly kill somebody. They ended up, by the way, having to amputate his foot. All from a little cut on the beach. Doesn't it make you want to go to Florida? See, that's why you ought to stay in Wisconsin where it's cold. Nobody's going barefoot on the beach today, okay? But listen, you know, that's a great illustration of what can happen in life. A little hurt, if it gets in, can cause spiritual death. It can ruin somebody. Well, but here's the thing. There is a balm in Gilead. There is an antibiotic in our illustration here. For a Christian, listen, get yourself saturated in the Word of God. Let your home be a place where they're saturated with God's Word and where they're reminded of the promises of God. Let that be a healing balm for them, because that is exactly what the Word of God is. It is a healing balm if we will let it be. We ought to remind them of comforting scriptures. I don't have time to look at Psalm 37, but Psalm 37 is the one that talks about the wicked. There will come a day when the wicked will not be. When we'll all of a sudden wake up and look around and all of a sudden the wicked are gone. My children ought to know about that verse. When someone does them wrong, when they're out in the world and they see wicked people doing wicked things, and maybe making fun of them or whatever. And it's not that we're hoping that that person ends up going to hell. We're not doing that. But it is a good reminder for them that, listen, God will deal with all things one day. Leave vengeance in God's hands. He will take care of it. And of course, that's what Romans tells us that we ought to do with vengeance. Leave it in God's hands. Why? Because he's going to deal with it. He's a great judge. He can do a way better job than you can. So let him have it. And my children and your children, my wife and me, and you and your wife, or you and your husband, ought to be reminded of that often. That it's all right. Listen, hurts are going to come, yes, but God will deal with all things. Just leave it alone. Let God deal with it. Where does that come from? That comes from the promises of God's word. And I ought to saturate my home. I ought to saturate, by the way, this church with the word of God so that we can be helped in this hospital for hurting hearts. Number three, another avenue through which a home can be a hospital for hurting hearts, and that is through parental example. Parental example. Parents, this one, as you can tell, is important. How do you respond when hurts come your way? You're setting the tone for how your children will then respond. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, and we'll look at verse number 6. Here's a verse that I'm sure you know and have heard many times. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to encourage you that that is a promise in God's word. I know there are some who would say, oh, that's not a promise. I want to encourage you, it's a promise. But it's not a promise that if I tell my children what to do, they'll always do it. As long as I've told them and explained to them what's right and what's wrong, when they get older, they'll always do what's right. No, that's not what it's a promise about. But it is a promise that as my children are home, I am training them. Just like the word sounds, I'm training them. So that later on, I'm forming them to respond to things in a certain way. And there comes a time where I can no longer really have that influence on them anymore, and I am letting them off into the world, and the way that I have trained them is exactly the way that they're going to go. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not some variation with their own will. There is. But it's all within the parameters of how I trained them. And I would say to you, by the way, that training happens much earlier than we realize. Sometimes we think that training is when they're 11 and 12 and 13 years old. May I encourage you that the training happens much earlier than 11, 12, 13 years old? In fact, by the time 11, 12, 13 years old comes along, much of the training has already been done. In fact, by the time they're about 5, it's not that no training can be done, but so much has already been placed in them by how I've dealt with them and how I've trained them and how I've worked with them. That means, parents, that we better be very prayerful in those early years. That means that we better understand, listen, I've got to work with them. And listen, focus on that word, train. Train them. Well, one of the ways that I train my children is, how do I respond? Because hurts come my way too. And I'm ashamed that many times in my life I've not responded the right way to hurts. It's easy for me sometimes to come into the home and complain to my wife, or sometimes even within the earshot of the children, and complain about this person and that person. They did this, they said this, they know I don't like that, and they do it anyway, or whatever the hurt might be. And you know what my children are doing, especially when they're young? They're taking all of that in, aren't they? And through hearing me do that, they're learning, and I'm training them. This is how we respond when people do us wrong. I want to be a great avenue through which my home can be a hospital for hurting hearts, that I train them to respond biblically to problems. biblically to people who hurt? Here's a great question for all of us. What is the temperature of the home when one of its members is wronged? What is the temperature of the home when one of its members is wronged? Are we like a swarm of wasps? You know, if you ever get near a wasp nest, it's amazing how quickly the entire nest can be in attack mode. And you know, sometimes families are that way. Sometimes when somebody begins to, with one person, rattle them a little bit, the entire hive, the entire home gets in attack mode. And here's what we're doing. We're training our children, we're training our home to not deal properly with hurts. Let me show you that in Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12. Here's a question for us as you're turning to Romans 12. Is the Bible right? Yes, amen. Always. Never gets it wrong. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. I'm going to say that again. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Do my children see that lived out in my life? When someone does them wrong, how do I respond? Now, by the way, my children have been, can I say, majorly wronged? Majorly. Nothing physical, nothing abuse, but I'm just talking about emotional. I'm talking about lies. I mean, flat out, absolute, complete, and total lies told about my children. How have I taught them to respond? Do I teach them? Oh boy, when somebody does that, we make sure we always tell everybody about how bad they are. Whatever the attitude, I can tell you, I won't tell you the thoughts that sometimes went through my mind. Why you, right? We're human beings, but wait a minute, it's important for me. They're looking at dad. How's dad going to react? I don't know what to do in this situation when someone lied about me. What is dad going to do? I don't know that I've always done it right, but can I remind you of what the Word of God says? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that's in the context of when someone has done evil to you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If I want my home to be a hospital for hurting hearts, then when my children are wrong, when my spouse is wrong, when I am wronged, I have an opportunity then to demonstrate to them, okay, this is how we react. And if I react in the flesh, it's going to bring destruction because the flesh always brings destruction. But if I respond in the spirit, it always brings life. My children can actually, after having gone through a hard time and someone doing them wrong, they can actually come out on the other side with more joy and stronger than when they went in. And a lot of it depends on me. By the way, the same thing goes with my wife. Same thing goes with me. The same thing goes here within the church. How do we respond to these things? Well, we ought to respond biblically, right? Let's go now to the fourth and final avenue through which our homes can be a hospital for hurting hearts. We've seen through the presence of the Holy Spirit, the saturation of God's Word, parental example, and number four, through security and unconditional love. Through security and unconditional love. It is easier to respond correctly to and not be overwhelmed by outside hurts when there is a sense of belonging and security in the home. So let's apply this to if you're at, let's apply this to if you're married, but either the kids are gone or you don't have any kids or whatever that might be. Each spouse, when they deal with hurts, if they have a loving spouse at home, it's amazing how many things they can deal with out in the world. It's very true. We men, by the way, ladies, can I give you a clue? We men especially can be babies in this area. You ladies have you have no idea what an impact, what an impact you have on your husband by just simply reverencing him. I don't believe you really understand. And it's not your fault. God didn't create you that way. But when a man knows that there is a woman at home who thinks that I can do anything, that man, generally speaking, will have much more of a tendency to say, I can do anything. And the boss yelled at me today and he called me a failure and the co-workers didn't like me. But man, when I get home, my wife is going to greet me with a hug and a kiss and call me Superman, figuratively speaking. You can do that literally too, just don't tell me about it, okay? But figuratively speaking, she's going to call me Superman. That guy will go, I guarantee it. That's the way God made men. Men, by the way, toward our wives, it's love. If she feels unconditionally loved, that no matter what she does, no matter what she looks like, no matter how much she may have burned the beans or, you know, not been the perfect wife or doesn't measure up to this wife over here, you know, whatever, if she can know that her husband truly, honestly, unconditionally loves her, she can go through so much in life. So we have that opportunity. But it also is applicable, by the way, for our children. If there's an environment at home where there's unconditional love and it's security and mom and dad are happy and they love me and they pat me on the back and kiss me on the forehead and love on me and hug on me, boy, they'll be hurt. Boy, it's going to happen. It'll happen. But if they can have that unconditional love at home, what a difference that will make in healing those hurting hearts. Okay, now let's apply that to a church. If I can come into a church on Sunday, on Wednesday, whatever day of the week it is, and I can know that those people there, they know the warts on my face, and they love me anyway. What a difference that makes to heal the hurts. Sometimes, sadly, homes are places of conflict where when I go home, they point out all of my failures. Sometimes churches are like that. When I go to church, they point out all of my failures. These things ought not so to be. And I'm afraid sometimes we're all guilty of doing that. And it ought not be that way. Because we want this place to be a home where hurting hearts can be healed, where people can come in and, yes, they failed. By the way, you have too. So have I. That'd be welcomed with open arms, with all their warts, and allowed to heal. And yes, challenge. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with taking your kid aside and saying, hey, son, straighten up. You're wrong. Nothing wrong with a brother in Christ pulling him aside and say, brother, I want to encourage you. You're not doing right. You need to do right. That's not unloving. In fact, that's real love. But at the same time that I would take my child aside and maybe scold him a little bit for not working as hard on their schoolwork as they should, I'm also going to, at the same time, embrace them and kiss them and love on them and tell them how wonderful they are. And a brother in Christ in the church, when they are not what they ought to be, at the same time that I might tell them, hey, straighten up, hopefully I'll also remind them, but hey, I love you. Thank you for being faithful. You're a blessing to me, whatever. But home ought to be a place for hurting hearts where they can be healed. And then let me just say this, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Do you remember that the Lord Jesus told us there? Let's just turn there, and this will be our last scripture that we'll look at tonight. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That ought to be exemplified in my home, that my children know you are always welcome here. This is a place where you are accepted. In the church, that ought to be the case. With my spouse, that ought to be the case. They ought to always know, my wife ought to know that I will always accept her. My children, same thing. Within the church, everyone here ought to know, listen, you will always be loved. It's not that I'm not going to scold you if you need it, but you'll always be loved and accepted. And that will help heal hurting hearts, because in this world that we live in, hurt's going to come. But there is a balm in Gilead. And my home and this church ought to be a place where those hurts can be healed. And I want to encourage you to make sure that your home is that way. And alongside of that, to help us make sure that this church is a home where hurting hearts can be healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that there is a balm in Gilead, that you are that balm. That, Lord, you do heal our hurts, and that, Lord, you are the one who takes this wicked world that we live in with all of its sin-cursed problems. And, Lord, you turn them into a blessing. You turn them into a time where we are drawn close to you, and, Lord, you kiss our hurts away. And I thank you so much for that. Lord, would you help us to do that with one another? Lord, would you help us to do that in our homes? Show us even tonight, Lord, in our homes where they are not a hospital. Lord, would you show us also in our church where perhaps even here we're not a hospital? Lord, forgive us if that's the case. Change us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet at this time if you would. Our piano player is going to play a hymn of invitation. The altar's open. If God spoke to your heart, you come. Maybe you need to come and just pray over your home, pray over your children, pray over your spouse. Maybe you need to pray about how you've dealt with people and that God would help you to deal with people. The altar's open. You come and do business with God. All right, you may look up here. Thank you for being in God's house tonight. Thank you for being faithful. I was thinking as I was praying during the invitation, don't raise your hand, but I could ask this question without you raising your hand. How many of you feel like a failure in these areas that we talked about tonight? And I bet lots of hands would be raised. I'll admit to you, my hand would be raised. But may I remind you, there's good news if you're a failure. God gives grace to the humble. So cry out to him in humility, and he'll give you grace. He'll do what you failed to do, and we all need that, whether we realize it or not. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like a failure, join the club. So let's just all humbly, individually, go before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, I've sure messed it up. Would you help? Give grace," and He'll do it. He'll do it in a great way, and I'm so thankful that He will. Thank you again for being faithful. I sure love and appreciate each one of you. Thank you for being in God's house. Thanks for serving the Lord. It's a blessing to serve with you. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. And Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday night, if not before. Heavenly Father, would you bless now your people as they go their separate ways? Lord, we do admit before you freely that we are failures. We've not been what we should be. Our homes have not been a hospital for hurting hearts. This church has not always been a hospital for hurting hearts either. Oh, Lord, we've failed so many times. But we come humbly before you. We admit that we're not what we ought to be. And, Lord, we claim your promise. You said you'd give grace to those who are humble. So, Lord, give grace. Do what only you can do. And allow our homes and our church to be a hospital for hurting hearts, I pray. Thank you, Lord, that you will. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.